There are a number of measures before the state legislature that, if passed, could impact the manner in which publicly owned land and waters are regulated. And some of these measures could potentially alter the manner in which you are allowed to use these resources. This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. This is a special second Friday edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host for this segment is Lisa Wozniak, and Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, David.
And our guest today.
I'd like to welcome to the show Kent Wood. Kent serves as Legislative Affairs Manager at the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, an organization with a long and very respected history in our state. Welcome, Kent.
Good morning, Kent.
Thank you. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Kent, we asked you to be our guest this month because you are a bright young mind in Michigan's conservation community with some really impressive experience in state politics and policy. Last week, we had a pretty interesting and celebratory decision on the part of the governor. He issued his first veto in relationship to a bill that many referred to as no stricter than federal. This bill would have tied Michigan's hands in a number of ways, and I'd like to ask you how that would have impacted your membership in the land preservation and water preservation that you work on.
Yeah, that is really was a good week last week with that veto, because especially from Michigan United Conservation Club standpoint, MUCC's standpoint, we really looked at it in terms of invasive species and invasive species regulation. And I think it's pretty well documented at this point what a drastic effect invasive species are having on not only the state of Michigan, but also the Great Lakes and in general. I think sometimes people don't realize also the economic impact that these have. Our Great Lakes fishery alone is over $7 billion. And I think the state of Michigan alone is spending close to $2 million per year just to help stem the tide of certain invasive species. That's not even looking at all of the invasive species out there, just certain invasive species that are there. We need to spend in the hundreds of millions of dollars just to keep them from growing. That's not even talking about eradicating them, just to keep them from spreading. And so when we looked at the veto last week, the no stricter than federal, really in terms of invasive species, the federal government's rules and regulations on invasive species do not cover all of the invasive species that we have in the Great Lakes. And so to do that, to sort of tie our hands in saying what is or is not an invasive species in the Great Lakes, we just didn't feel was acceptable at all, because our argument is what might be good for Nevada and Arizona in terms of invasive species is certainly not the same as what's good for Michigan and for the rest of the Great Lakes states.
By no means is this a dead issue, though, because Republicans have said, even the governor's press office has said, that they will go back and they will talk with Republican leadership and try and come up with something that is more workable. What are the concerns of what they term as a more workable plan?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, they haven't really involved us in those discussions yet. And so I really can't tell you what a more workable plan would look like. I'm sure there are brighter minds than I that are going to take a look at that, and good for them. But in terms of that bill that was passed and then vetoed by the governor, from MUCC's standpoint, especially in terms of invasive species management in Michigan, it was a big win, because it could have, hamstrung us in those efforts.
And it has a potential impact, Lisa, on some pending legislation, currently under discussion. This is legislation that might have been impacted had he chosen not to veto it as we move forward.
That's absolutely true. And the legislature is actually, and these are some questions I want to focus back for Kent, but the legislature has been coming up with a number of different pieces of legislation that would under sort of regulatory reform, quote unquote, have huge impacts on our land, air, and water in Michigan. But for MUCC's perspective, notably it's the land use pieces that I know that you're most concerned about. And next week, I understand that there's a bill that's going to be that's going to come up in the House, SB 248, known as the Land Cap Bill. Mm-hmm. Can you describe what this bill is all about and its implications?
Yeah, absolutely. What Senate Bill 248 would do is effectively cap the amount of state or public land that the DNR could own or manage in the state of Michigan. And I think to sort of frame that from where from MUCC's standpoint, we are an organization of over 42,000 members, predominantly, you know, of the hunting, fishing, angling, sportsmen and women community, and you know, also different conservation clubs and different outdoor organizations out there. And so the use and the access and the ability to get access to public recreational land is absolutely huge for us. And it that is predominantly where we go to recreate, and it's predominantly where other citizens of the state of Michigan go to recreate. And so, you know, we become very concerned when you start looking at these very restrictive and very arbitrary rules and laws that we're going to put on public land management and also, you know, public recreation, because that is where our people predominantly go to recreate.
What are the chances right now that this is going to pass? Where do you feel this stands in the legislature?
To be perfectly frank, it is very close right now. It is very close, and I would say close to on the, you know, it's on the side of passing right now, especially in the House Natural Resources Committee, and you know, we feel that we're out there making our case. We've got a pretty much the entire sportsman's community in the state of Michigan out there right now trying to make their case to these committee members that, you know, we are not okay with the way this bill is currently structured right now. And I think there are quite a few that are in that committee that are going to take a close look at it and are taking a real close look at it right now. But it's going to be tight. It's you know, by no means, you know, dead in the water. You know, at the same time, it's by no means good to go either.
The premise behind it, a cost savings measure?
It's partly I believe 248 was really brought forward to address some issues in certain communities, especially certain counties, predominantly in the Upper Peninsula, where the counties have, you know, the majority of their land base is under state ownership or public ownership. And their concerns are and their arguments are that they're really losing their tax base because so much of the land is in public ownership. And their argument is also that while the state does pay payment in lieu of taxes for those lands that it owns, you know, they're saying that the state has not kept up with those payments. And so really it's, you know, they're bringing it back to the local communities and saying, you know, we're losing money off of this.
Have you looked into how much acreage might be lost to public access if this bill should become law?
Well, the way it's structured right now, it's they set the cap at 17,000 acres over where we are currently at. I think I forget where we're currently at, but it would be 4.65 roughly million acres that the state would be capped at, and that's only about 17,000 acres over where we're currently at.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment, although this month's installment happens to come on a second Friday. I'm David Fair, sitting with my co-host for this segment on the first Friday of every month. It's Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak, and our guest today is Kent Wood from the Michigan United Conservation Clubs.
Let's talk about the Natural Resources Trust Fund, because this seems to be directly linked in many ways to land capping potential. Michiganders voted into the Constitution for the sake of land preservation, the Natural Resources Trust Fund, and it's for recreation or opportunities and, again, land preservation. 2 days ago here in Washtenaw County, there was a huge celebration because there were four or five grants made by the Natural Resources Trust Fund that went directly to parks and natural resources. And this was a ripple effect across the state where communities were celebrating the funding that was coming from the Natural Resources Trust Fund. And yet the state legislature is interested in potentially putting those funds to other uses. And I'm curious whether you think that this fund is worth preserving in its original intent or whether some of these diversions of funds are a better use for them.
Well, I can tell you that Michigan United Conservation Clubs was one of the organizations at the table when the original Natural Resources Trust Fund was developed. And so we have, so to speak, a lot of skin in the game on this. And we are very interested and very devoted to preserving the original intent of the Natural Resources Trust Fund, which was to take a one-time mineral use, the funds from that, then to put towards, one-time legacy projects to preserve and protect and offer recreational access opportunities for the public.
But the legislature seems to think that there are better uses for that, like roads and other infrastructure opportunities. Do you think that the passage of such a bill is possible? And where do you think the governor would come down on this if it actually moves?
That's a really good question. And, I think every time you have a large pot of money sitting out there, whatever the purposes for that are, you've always got interested parties that are looking at that and saying, I wonder what else we could do with, such a nice large pot of money. However, we would argue that it's there in the Constitution for a reason. The people said, we want this protected. We want it to go towards public access and public recreational opportunities. And even that being said, I'm not exactly sure where, the legislature is on this right now. Mm-hmm. I know there are, there are three different bills or bill packages out there right now. And really, they spread from your most conservative Republicans to your most liberal Democrats also that are supporting introducing these sorts of packages. And so it's very interesting. It's really, it doesn't really look like a partisan issue at this point because it's, you do have it kind of from all across the board. And I'm not sure where the governor is right now. I think it'll be very interesting to see where he comes down on it, considering that the public has voted a number of times to protect this.
Right,
and
huge support.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, most of what we've been discussing today is an indication that there's a growing indifference, if not even hostility, in the legislature, a body that, over time has traditionally been somewhat open, if not supportive, to conservation issues. You mentioned you have 42,000 members. MUCC has a long legacy that I think is very representative of Michigan's conservation ethic and heritage. What do you think is the cause of this, and how can we encourage members of both parties to be more cognizant of the importance of Michigan's outdoor legacy?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's kind of one that I'm scratching my head to try to figure out as well. And granted, I think we all do have to realize that, the economic conditions the way they are, anytime you have these kind of budgetary and economic crises going on, you do have folks and everybody kind of starts taking a real hard look at, where the money's going and what it's being used for. And so a lot of times, conservation and recreation issues are sort of put at the bottom of the heap because, people sort of figure, well, it's just recreation. People do that for fun. It's really not what we need to get our economy moving, when really that couldn't be further from the truth, because recreation, while it's not only not only what we like to do in our spare time and can be good for our health depending on what our pursuits are, recreational opportunities have a huge economic impact on the state of Michigan.
That's the Pure Michigan campaign.
Absolutely. So not only do we want the folks in Michigan to get out and recreate, we want folks from other states to see Michigan as that destination where you can come and do just about anything your heart desires. Mm-hmm. And I know from our standpoint, hunting and fishing alone, provides up, over $5 billion when you look at the ripple effect into our economy each year. And, that's just two recreational pursuits that you know, that you could think of over just a myriad of them. And so I think to cut ourselves short in this is really not only doing a disservice to the citizens, but it's really doing a disservice to this Pure Michigan brand that we're trying to build up.
Particularly in difficult economic times, a legislative body can become very short-sighted. And we here in Michigan deal with the additional pressure of having term limit laws. As we enter a new election cycle in 2012, are some of these measures going to be impacted by candidates that are short-sighted and just trying to get or maintain their office?
Well, I think you certainly do have that issue when you have folks that, you know, if you're in the House, you can have up to 6 years, and if you're in the Senate, you can have up to 8 years. And the problem with that comes that a lot of these issues that we're looking at have 50 to 100-year consequences to them. And when you're looking at it in the terms of, well, can this help us in the next 6 years or in the next few years, you know, that's really only half the question. I think a lot of these issues really were not taking a real broad look at it. I think maybe with some of the other issues they are, but for some reason it seems when it comes to conservation and sportsmen's issues, we are kind of short-sighting ourselves. And kind of coming back to the land cap bill, you know, I think just thinking that capping the amount of land that we have right now because we think that'll be good into perpetuity is really not taking a look at what's out there. One of our big concerns is that, you know, we do have about 50% of our state public land is in the Upper Peninsula, and only about 4% is in the southern part of Michigan, where most of our population and most of our, you know, recreating population lives. And so you've got these huge disparities that, you know, are really going to take some time and some effort to try to even those out and try to get a handle on, are we serving the recreational and the outdoor needs of our citizens? And when you just kind of look at, well, I think we're good right now, let's cap it where we're at, you're not looking at, you know, where the population is going and what the population needs where they're at. And so those are the big concerns that we have on these issues, is that we're not looking out further into the future. Whether it's term limits or not, I don't know, but it is clear that a lot of these outdoors and a lot of these sportsmen's issues, we've sort of got that, you know, that kind of 6-year look. Is this acceptable to the public for 6 years? So
Lisa, final question.
Well, as we look at moving into 2012, so this is a short-term question with mm-hmm. long-term implications.
Sure.
It's an election year, and oftentimes in election years, sitting legislatures feel like they want to take action, and then when we get closer to the actual voting day, there's a lot of inaction. What is your hope for 2012 on these land use issues? What would you like to see happen either to stall bad legislation or to pass some good, solid land preservation legislation in 2012?
I think really what MUCC would like to see is, we have been, you know, over the course of this past year, we've really been taking a look at ourselves internally and where we need to go, and then also externally, what is the sporting community and the conservation community need to really take that big step forward in Michigan. And in 2012, what we're really hoping is that really, as a sportsman's community and as a conservation community, that we can come together also with the legislature and start to look together at what needs to get done and how we can go there efficiently together, and try to come up with some constructive solutions that could get those done and get them done in an efficient way, where we're not wasting the limited resources that we have, especially, you know, in terms of natural resources. That would be our ultimate goal, I think. What MUCC is really concerned about right now is that we are, you know, really wasting our resources by kind of trying to put out all these small fires that are out there instead of looking at the big picture of conservation and where we need to go and how we need to do that.
Kent, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is Kent Wood, and he is with the Michigan United Conservation Clubs. And a thank you goes to my co-host as well, Lisa Wozniak, as Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Kent.
And Lisa, we'll see you in the new year.
I look forward to it.
I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to a second Friday edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. It's a regular monthly feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.